present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Welcome to the last program in the present series, which opens with this heartwarming tale from The Independent.
In a humanitarian gesture, the Frisbee manufacturer Wham-O shipped 7,000 of its celebrated plastic discs to an Angolan orphanage run by one Sister Dominique. The sister has just written to say thank you. The dishes you sent are wonderful, she says. We eat all our meals off them.
And Mrs. M. Ward of Poole was touched by that, and Mr. B. Perkins of Warpersdon touchingly read it for us. And time now to meet our panel. At this point, it's worth pointing out that the overall score in this series stands at Alan Corran's team 6, Toot Richard Ingram's team 5, so there's an exciting possibility that the news quiz could go to penalties. On my right is the man who's here to make sure that happens, John Wells, and next to him, the man who's there to stop him, his captain, Richard Ingram. Alan Corran has sportingly given Richard a chance by deciding to go off on holiday a week early, so instead the pressure is on The Guardian's Andrew Rawnsley and Law Monthly's Clive Anderson. And we open round one by dishing out a prize to this award-winning headline found in the Winnipeg Free Press.
Gas chamber executions may be health hazard.
Well, thank you, A.G. Johnson of London, for having the good taste to send us that. But now, the first question, which goes to His Royal Highness at the Richard Ingrams. Who's giving a whole new meaning to family allowance?
This is the royal loaf, which has been produced by our friend Prince Charles.
No, that comes later, dear.
She's going to give all
oh, she's giving them
Queen Mum an enormous rise. Isn't that exciting?
Is that true? Well, they're all getting a big across-the-board pay increase in accordance with all their very strenuous duties that they do.
It's called the civil list because it's very decent of Mrs. Thatcher to do this to them, and it is a pretty solid vote winner, I think. And also, little Prince Docklands Doris, as he's known in the trade, Prince Edward, is to get $100,000 a year, not from Andrew Lloyd Webber, but from us, which is very lovely. Makes him feel more independent.
Why is he known by that curious name?
I don't know, it's just the showbiz fraternity has taken him so utterly to its heart, I think.
Andrew speaks.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the real worry is they're going to get £100 million almost up front to cover them for 10 years. I just hope the Queen Mother doesn't blow it on the 3:30 on Thursday.
Bonus there to Andrew Rawnsley.
These anti-royalist views don't necessarily represent this team's...
No, I understand. I understand that. Remove the bonus in case it encourages me to be. It all concerns the news that the Queen, PLC, is to receive a 55% pay rise. Her Majesty freely admits that the money was a gift from the Soviet miners. But denies she's going to use it to build extensions to her house. However, after hearing that Prince Edward's extra increase was based on the fact that he's single and might well get married, the Queen Mother has asked for similar treatment. John Wells, an international question for you. Where did a crude bully beef about prices?
Is it to do with the mad Iraqi cow disease element? Yes, good. What has beef got to do with it?
Beef, I suppose it's the Israeli pig.
I doubt it very much, Richard. You know, you take his plaid blanket off at this time of the evening and you can't understand a word he said.
I think he's enjoying it, though, John.
He looks as though he's enjoying it, lucid intervals. I think this is a reference to the queue forming to see the Salman Rushdie comedy spectacular, lining up along the edge of Kuwait. And now apparently they've all filtered away again, which is a tremendous relief, I think, to the Kuwaitis. You see, if you tell the actual, give the answer, no one ever laughs.
After calling off their military action, the Iraqis saw an immediate price rise to over $19 a barrel, or nearly $40 for the complete gun. Now, an interesting item from the interesting journal, the East London Advertiser.
A nightclub was raided by 25 police officers at 2 a.m. last night. They seized substances including cannabis and a drug described as an enhancer of sexual performance. These are being tested by the forensic department.
And Mrs. P. Dad of London was onto that one. Andrew Rawnsley, we welcome you back with this question. Which king's men won't be half as strong as they were?
Goodness me, we're back with the royals again. The Queen's Army, Navy, and the Royal Air Force. Some of them are going to be stood down. Quite a few will carry on, but most of them are going to be told to stand at ease, because the real enemy from the government's point of view is the voters.
The King...
It's arranged because of changes in totalitarian regimes in the Treasury.
The King is, of course, Old Tom, the Defence Secretary, who's announced 60,000 casualties of peace due to be lost by the armed forces in the biggest troop reduction exercise since Little Bighorn. No worry, however, since according to the Department of Employment, the 60,000 new job seekers will amount to a mere half dozen when seasonally adjusted. Clive, a question for you, but first a musical clue from the album No News Quiz Series is Complete Without.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do, you make me feel.
Barry, how do you do that?
I take these tablets three times a day and look at the picture of the Queen Mother. And that was actually the Queen of the Night, Kathy Bavarian. Clive, whose nighttime field study spotted a false ringer?
It's all to do with these rather weird crop circles that occur in farmers' fields. I think it's part of the government set-aside scheme. People go in and trample down corn sheaves or whatever they are. And then people get excited and say that people are landing from outer space. Well, I mean, if someone was coming from outer space, obviously they'd land in Trafalgar Square and say hello, and not go trampling around on the corn, which wouldn't make it very popular. But some group of people, let's say the newspapers, decide to play a trick on some other people, let's say the TV, and they one did a spoof for the other. So everyone thought they'd found it at last, because there was an orange light going around in a circle with a man going, "Dee-hee, I'm a Martian." And it's all just a joke done by the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes, it's all to do with the elaborate practical joke perpetrated by persons unknown on a team of international scientists of intelligence unknown who were monitoring circles in Wiltshire cornfields. The whole event was treated as genuine by the media until revealed to be a hoax. Which brings us back to the jobless figures. And the scores at the end of the first round are, as always in this series, for all. Before Richard Ingram's second question, here by way of a clue is an advertisement found in the Canterbury Advertiser.
Marsh Farm Organics. All homegrown produce, chemical-free. Potatoes, vegetable, salad, etc. Thanet Road, next to Pet Cemetery.
Thank you, Gina Langford of Canterbury, for sending us that. So, speaking of matters organic, we turn to Richard Ingram. Richard, what have Tesco's cooked up for the loyal toast?
Well, I think it's these amazing sort of mysterious looms that have been appearing in supermarkets in Gloucestershire, and nobody knows what they are. Except that they've been produced by the Royal Bakery.
This explains why it was the day after that we found out that Prince Charles was having to flog loaves at Tesco's to make ends meet that Mrs. Thatcher announced that whopping pay increase for them. The Prime Minister clearly alarmed that Princess Diana was going to have to do shifts as a checkout girl.
Imagine they try to add up.
How much is this?
And you could have the Queen Mother swilling out with her, you know, hair done up in a bun and a bucket and a little mop going round our closing time, giving us a cheery smile as she helped herself to a nip.
The answer to the question is Highgrove bread, 49 p's worth of organically grown roughage, partly provided by the Prince of Wales' home farm in Gloucestershire, John, where are viruses thriving swimmingly?
This is very, very disgusting. Apparently, a dip in the briny, and you come out khaki from head to foot. I mean, you can barely get into the water.
Can't swim, you just get to the...
But,
Yes, this refers to the findings of the Commons Environment Select Committee, which claim that bathing in polluted water off British beaches can cause infections. Now it's time to dish out another prize. This is for the most interesting news item to come our way, and it goes to the editor of the Huddersfield Examiner, who decided that the following story was worth printing. Here it is in its entirety.
Fire kills slug. A fire in a fuse box at a Straithwaite house killed a slug at the weekend. Straithwaite fireman called to the blaze in New North Road, found the slug's burned body in the blackened box.
And many thanks to Stephen O'Loughlin, who passed us on that hot news. Clive, your question now. Who swears by Radio 1?
Who swears by Radio 1? It must be somebody on Radio 1 has sworn this week. And it must be a disc jockey.
A foreigner.
Oh,
Madonna.
Oh, of course, it was Madonna. Madonna. I remember now, it was Madonna. Can I say this in an Andrew Rawnsley sort of voice? Here I go. I've been perfecting this impersonation. I'm going to do it now.
Yes, you know, she's... You couldn't see his lips move.
I'm a bit incoherent when I do it, but... I'm possibly not very funny, but here I'm going to go.
Madonna has been shocking the nation by swearing a bit on Radio 1 when she hasn't been out jogging with her minders and on the way working out on a few press photographers who weren't too pleased about it.
That's right. Yes? It's all to do with the foul language during a performance by the Wembley star Diego Madonna. Radio 1 say they were unable to remove it from their live transmission, an excuse they also give for any one of their disc jockeys. Richard Ingrams, a question right up your aisle. How did a choice bishop upset the good bookies?
Well, this is a very curious story, in fact, about how an unknown man, who's been described as the John Major of the Church of England, suddenly emerged at the top. And I think what happened, as far as I can read in the papers, was that Archbishop Runcie and various other people played a very elaborate joke. They persuaded everyone that the front runners were going to be our friend Habgood and David Shepherd and all these people. And at the very last minute, they put all their money, because they haven't got much money. They don't get paid very much by the church authorities. They put all their money on this total outsider, Bath and Wells. And they absolutely coined in. Isn't that right, John?
Yeah, the bookies are looking very stupid.
Yes.
But I thought you'd have some other theory about Mrs. Thatcher refusing to have all these lefty atheist bishops. And, I don't think that was the explanation.
We don't know what happened. I find this betting theory the only convincing explanation.
This does refer to the investigation into a rash of last-minute bets on Dr. George Carey to be appointed, as he was, the new Archbishop of Canterbury. The bookmakers, William Hill, have had to accept it as an act of God. However, Downing Street denied she had anything to do with it. John, your turn for some musical aid, brought to you by this merry band.
Down in the meadow in a little bitty pool swam three little fishes and a mama fishy too.
Swim,
said the mama fishy.
Swim if you can.
And they swam all over the dam.
Well, that was Brian Cant, Floella Benjamin and Peter Gosling's Underwater All-Stars. John, who's breeding fish? Were over-fertilised.
Well, this was a really tragic story. A popular singer called Roger D'Altrey, I think of French extraction, had been breeding fish, or at least he'd been encouraging other fish to breed with fish. And down in some remote part of the West Country, and somebody pulled the plug in a nearby establishment and flooded this fish farm with the sort of thing you'd find if you tiptoed into the water at Margate. And with the result that in a moment the fish were writhing about in despair, and he got, I think, something like 150,000 visitors. I think it's an awful lot, really. So that's the way it is.
Thank you very much indeed. And now the weather. Well, about Roger Daltrey, the former lead what in The Who from way back when, whose trout farm was polluted by fertilizer spillage upstream, turning his 500,000 fish stock into trout-flavored pot noodle. Andrew, your question. Who wouldn't play dead playing soldiers?
Clive Anderson.
Is that your answer?
It's about people who play war games.
Yes, it's the splat game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where these office executives and other people like Clive run around firing paint pellets at each other, but some of them are cheating.
And in this particular instance,
the referee said, "You're dead." And the man said, "No, I'm expletive deleted, not." And struck him on the head with one of his paint guns and cracked his skull. And he walked across a very long way and took his cracked skull into the hospital. And they analysed it and found it to be cracked. So it just goes to show.
You carried him.
You know.
It's all about an unknown man enacting a £30-a-head yuppie war game who wouldn't lie down when shot by a paint gun and pronounced dead by the referee. Tom King is now trying to calculate how much paint it will take to make 60,000 servicemen play dead. Clive, where might air travellers get seasick?
Where might air travellers get seasick?
It's a weird story, this.
It's a weird story that occurred in the papers this week. That's as close as I'm likely to get on this. This is clearly... I know, I have thought of it. This is an answer. I don't care if this is the answer you want. There is a proposal to build a new London airport, but instead of building it at Stansted, but to build it in the estuary and sort of float it on a couple of planks of wood and a couple of oil cans... And the jumbos will land on that, and everyone will be seasick waiting for the planes to arrive, as well as homesick and sick of airports. Is that anything like what you wanted?
That is exactly the answer.
So I'm sorry for rambling on. I needed half an hour to work out what on earth you were
talking
about.
No, very good. Very well worked out. Excellent. Very well. And now a poignant tale from the Southampton Advertiser.
A man stabbed himself twice, set fire to his home, and jumped naked from a window in what police believe to be a suicide attempt.
And Peter Jeffrey of Southampton was on the alert to that one. Richard, your final question, and everything to play for. But first, some khaki-clad nostalgia.
And we will be as one, one world.
Man Was Born to Be Free by the 1966 Gang Show. So it's a scouting question, Richard. Richard, why should the East be prepared for a ging-gang gulag?
Well, this is to do with Boy Scouts, I think.
Well grasped. 1 point so far.
You amaze me, Holmes.
As part of his liberalization program, President Gorbachev is going to introduce the Boy Scout movement into Russia. And Captain Robert Maxwell is coming over to advise him on how to set it up. I'm making all this up.
I realise that.
You realise that, good.
It's the World Scout Movement who are preparing themselves for an influx of Eastern Bloc short trousers following the general demise of Marxist-inspired youth movements like the I Spy Junior KGB Club and the Romanian Securi Tufti Club. John Wells, who's asking us to lend an ear to some recent artists' impressions?
It must be something to do with that. Is that he's pronounced Van
Gogh? Over there, he's
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Anyway,
why would Van
be come up, as it were, been brought up this week? I wonder.
It's because some old American bore has discovered that he wasn't mad. He was just got this terrible earache.
But he was one of the great impressionists, along with Mike Yarwood. And apparently his impression of a man with only one ear was absolutely hysterical.
Was just like the real thing, I'm told. We were lucky enough to see.
He was very keen on these cornfields.
He was.
Doing that or something very like it.
What a pity they can't see that on the radio.
Mr. Tuke is holding up two fingers in a suggestive manner.
No, in tribute to the late, great Winston Churchill. Yes.
When did he ever cut his ear off?
We have nothing to lose but our ears.
This refers to the examination...
Barry's just cut his eye out.
This refers to the examination of 796 of Van Gogh's letters by experts writing in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which suggests that poor Vincent, unsurprisingly, was suffering from earache when he cut off his left ear and sent it to a prostitute, none of which impressed the woman, as she was expecting something else entirely.
With him still attached to it, I suppose.
But I understand.
Here, watch this. And
Doris, that man's ear again.
Not tonight, darling, I wouldn't earache.
Time to break off again from the quiz proper to hear this improper cutting from the sleazy pages of the Independent.
Every MP and member of the House of Lords will be sent a condom as part of a campaign by GPs to persuade the government to allow them to provide sheaths free to their patients. The Family Planning Association supports the campaign and has asked to be patron Sir John Stradling Thomas.
Couldn't have picked a better man for the job, I would have thought.
It's interesting you mention that, because I actually saw one of the condoms and one of the letters which they attached, which simply began, as you'd imagine, "Dear Member."
Why didn't they ask Michael Mates to be there?
I think the great mistake they made was actually stapling them to the letter. Anyway, Evan Pedley of Keighley peddled us that bit of information, for which we are deeply grateful. Finally, Clive Anderson, last weekend, who threw a house party into the squad car?
Ah, this comes back to me now. There was one of these jolly parties that I throw, that people throw out in probably Essex or somewhere like that. Leeds, under the boundary changes. It's the North Riding of Essex, Leeds, where there are people having a sort of jolly old party, an acid house party of the type that you'd be familiar with, Barry.
Yes,
and the police naturally raided it and discovered all sorts of crimes being committed, like fun being had, and drugs probably.
They
arrest a lot of people, apparently, I said there to myself. In my Andrew Rawnsley impression, I'm still worrying about Vincent van Gogh. Did he wear glasses? Because that would account for his painting going a bit sort of... It goes a bit sort of liney. I know it's supposed to be very good, but it's a bit liney occasionally.
That's
if his
right.
glasses were falling off his ears, that would probably...
He did at one time, then he had to, of course, switch to a monocle.
Yes.
It's all about the record-breaking arrest-in of 836 happy-go-lucky acid house revellers who were caught by squads of happy-go-lucky West Yorkshire policemen. Despite the noise of approaching sirens, screaming loud hailers and truncheons battering down the door, the revellers carried on dancing, thinking someone had just put on another record. All 800 were taken away to be put in the local cell, so if anyone's interested, there's dancing there till late. Just ring 999 for the location. And so endeth the lesson. And since it's the last programme of term, I've allowed the panel to bring in games in the form of clippings that may have caught their eye. Richard, do you have any yellowing item to amuse them?
This is another item about defence cuts from the Telegraph. At a Commons hearing, Field Marshal Lord Bramall, a former chief of the defence staff, described tactical nuclear weapons as a bloody nuisance and damn dangerous.
Well, you've raised the tone enormously. John?
Well, I was rather pleased with this entirely clean art, which struck my eye in the Stretton Focus, which I was open first thing in the morning. Footpath Liaison Committee. The waymarking of the public footpath over the golf course, planned to take place recently, was deferred as one of the group undertaking this work was knocked unconscious by a golf ball, which he himself had hit.
Well, on that wave of excitement, we cross to Andrew and ask him, what have you brought for us?
Yes, this caught my eye. It reports a Spaniard has just won a nut-cracking contest by crushing 30 walnuts between his buttocks in less than a minute. Hundreds of spectators watched Jose Astorica, 34, squat to victory in the first annual nut-cracking with the bottom championships in the Basque. His brother, Juan Ramon, was second with a time of 1 minute 20 seconds. The brothers' winning times have been attributed to a peculiar physical characteristic which runs in the family.
Clive.
Yes, I've got an Alan Corran-length yellowing item here. It's from the magazine called Police. And it's a report about a squad of police who went in to arrest a suspect, but they knew he had a rather vicious Rottweiler, so they're a bit careful. And it goes, when the team burst into the bedroom, the suspect was sound asleep, but his wife, stark naked, burst from the covers and grabbed the snarling dog by its collar and pointed at the officers, shouted, "Kill!" The officer sprang into action, tossed a sausage towards the dog, missed, and it struck the wife in the face. In rage, she flung it back, shouting, "Stop throwing sausages at me, you pervert!" At last, the din aroused the suspect. He could not believe his eyes to see sausages flying backwards and forwards over his head, the dog leaping into the air, and his naked wife getting more and more infuriated. But at length, the arrest was made, and the dog ate the sausages.
Now I can reveal the final scores, which are Clive and Andrew 15, but Richard and John triumphant with 16. The winner. And so that means a stunning draw, which is the nearest he'll get to victory for Richard Ingram. Well done, Richard. The series has been drawn 6 games all, which seems to be entirely fair. Many thanks to all our panellists over the series and to those of you who sent in cuttings. We'll be back in September, so keep the cuttings coming in. To end with, here's the magnificent Perkins again with an interesting item from the Newcastle Journal sent to us by Diana Heslop of Ellingham.
A man was stabbed yesterday when he struggled with a burglar who was trying to steal his car. Mr. Martin Bott of County Durham saw someone sitting behind the wheel of his new Renault 19 Chamade. "I thought he was just punching me at first," he said. "Then I saw the blood. He'd used a knife from my kitchen to stab me. Luckily, I'd washed it the night before, so at least the wounds are clean."
On that cheery note, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, John Wells, Andrew Rawnsley and Clive Anderson. The chairman was Barry Took, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Mr. John Langdon, with the producer, Signor Armando Iannucci.